Welcome to another episode of the Jimmy Rhodes Show. Today, I am very excited to have Kristen Chang on the show. We are going to talk about a topic that haunts my ultra running journey, and that is nutrition. Those of you who have spent enough time in the Virginia ultra running scene likely know Kristen, as she is most definitely part of the family. When I think of our great community we have here, Kristen is not only a registered dietitian, and correct me if I'm wrong on any of this, but you are currently teaching the next generation of dietitians at Virginia Tech, where you're an instructor and the assistant director of the Master's in Nutrition and Dietetics program. So doing a lot there. And then on top of all of that, she walks the walk, and she is an accomplished triathlete as well as ultra runner, and has run many of the classic Virginia ultras, such as Holiday Lake 50K, Promised Land 50K, and the Mountain Mascus 50 Miler. Kristen has two really cool young kids and is married to Jordan Chang, which many of you may also know, who I view as one of the more talented and like super experienced ultra runners in the area, probably because maybe he gets great nutrition advice. Maybe he doesn't take it. So Kristen Chang, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. And yes, you got it all good. And I'm happy to be here and talk about one of my favorite topics.
Yeah. Okay. So my first question, which is kind of real, kind of fake, is does Jordan take ultra running nutrition advice from his smart wife? Or is he kind of like a, yeah, I'm going to figure it out myself kind of guy?
I've learned the hard way that I let him figure it out. And when he has questions, I may gingerly give him some nudges.
Very nice.
But ultimately, he likes to make his own choices and mistakes.
Yeah, that's great. I can recall once we were on a run and he had his running pack on. And he was talking about it's his dashboard, and he did bring you up about, yeah, Kristen helped me get this set up where I've got this here and this here and this here. So I'm sure you rub off on him at least a little bit. So when I was considering a topic for the next topic for this show, which right now we're kind of focusing on being a resource for people training for their first ultra marathon, and also just wanting to be really relevant for really anyone. Nutrition was easily the topic, and you were easily my first choice as a guest. And you know, I've been ultra running for 12 years, and like I'm still messing up, you know. And I think some people have easier time digesting food on the run than others. But you know, we've all got this physical side of our training, like. Am I training enough? Am I healthy? Am I injured? Am I sleeping? And we've got the mental side of ultra running, like, am I with it? Is my personal life good? And then there's nutrition. And I think like all three of those things are truly equally as important.
They all impact each other. They're very interrelated.
Yeah. And on that topic, like I've had times where my nutrition really blew up. And like suddenly my quads are just dead, you know, where they shouldn't be physically. So I think a lot of us like ultra running because there is this magic that kind of happens that no one can really explain out on the trail. But I think nutrition sometimes doesn't get as much focus as it really should, especially I think someone who's new, figuring it out. And so, you know, kind of my first question I'll just say is, you know, what are some of the best ways someone can really start figuring out a nutrition plan for an upcoming event when really like their training runs are only a fraction of that race, right? There's nothing better than a race to let you know, like, well, that worked or that didn't work. So where do you start with people like, hey, I'm signed up for my first 50K in a couple of months. What should I do?
That is a great question. And the first thing is just to start fueling consistently during training if you're not already doing so. And everyone's coming from different baselines, and everyone has different tolerance to fuel while they're running or to fueling during their training. And so if you're completely new to eating and running, like starting by just having something before you go out the door can be really helpful. And then slowly working yourself up from a tolerance perspective and also playing around with different fuel sources to figure out what works best for you.
Yeah.
Always like to emphasize that you are an experiment of one. And it can be a very fun experiment, and it can be a very humbling experiment at the same time.
Yeah. Is there like a 80%, plan? Are there some general things that you would say, like, hey, try this in your training, and you're probably gonna try this on your race? That you think will work for like the majority of people, or do you really find it's like, oh no, like some things only work for 30% of people, like
Well, no,
again.
there's definitely some key general guidelines to consider. And so the primary recommendation is that you want to be consuming 30 to 60 grams of carbohydrate per hour. And if it's a longer event, you want to try to be at the upper end of that range. Because your body, the demands on your body over time, it's just great. And after 90 minutes to 2 hours, you're depleting your glycogen store. So you really need to be refueling your body through the process. But key consideration there is you can't just jump in and start consuming 60 grams of carbohydrate per hour and expect to tolerate it right off the bat. Like you have to build up tolerance and train your gut, is what they say. And so, if you're very new, starting at the lower end of that range, maybe even a little lower, maybe just like, a standard gel has typically maybe 20 to 24 grams of carbohydrates, starting with one per hour.
Yeah.
How you tolerate it. And then slowly building up that tolerance over time. And then again, experimenting with different fuel sources to see where your preferences are. Is it gels? Is it gummies? Is it sports drink? Is it more solid foods? Like, everyone's different there.
Yeah. Do you find a lot of people, let's kind of say, because I do think like tolerance for fuel is a great way of, I haven't heard that, but that's like my issue is tolerating as much as I want to take. But that's also very dependent on your effort, on the distance, on other factors like the temperature and stuff. But let's say for someone who's just trying to finish something, kind of like, mid-range effort, do you think that incorporating real food is pretty important to try? And again, maybe for new people, real food I might say would be like, I'm gonna make a PBJ sandwich. I'm gonna have some banana. I'm gonna have I don't know, I might call granola bars, real food, but stuff like that. Or do you
For the
often,
solids, yeah, I
yeah.
would say definitely from a satiation perspective, incorporating some more solid foods, some real foods can be a great way to go about it. Not to mention, it's a lot less expensive.
Yeah.
Some of these sports foods are very expensive. They're not cheap. They're easily accessible, and just keeping in mind though that the higher level of effort, the less able your body is to break that down and absorb it. So, if you're keeping your effort pretty moderate, conversation pace, or maybe slightly lower, then you're going to really be able to tolerate a little bit more in that regard.
Yeah.
And if you're doing like, 8 out of 10 effort wise,
Yeah. Yeah.
pushing the heart.
Do you think there's do you see some pretty common mistakes for like newer runners that you'll hear, whether it's friends or people you've worked with in the past, of like, oh, this totally blew up, and you're just like, well, yeah. Are there any common things that people do a lot that you would just like caution people about?
Yeah, probably one of the biggest things that I see is not fueling enough during training. and then trying to consume too much on race day. And it's either because fueling during training is an afterthought, and then they get to race day and they're like, oh, well, I'm extending the distance, therefore I need to make sure I'm consuming food, but their body's not used to it to the same extent. Or there tends to be, or they don't realize how much they need, or there's tends to be this culture of like training low and then trying to like, or not consuming less during training and then going on race day and trying to really push the fuel to perform better, and your gut just can't shift gears like that. You've got to train it to consume what you're expecting to consume on race day. There's
That's
no time to push the fueling. It's during training to figure out where your limits are and then back off a little bit on race day.
That's tough. I personally, I usually run early in the morning, and my preference is like wake up, I'll have black coffee and like some water and go run. And I'm good for like 2 hours, and I know there's probably people who are different or whatever. And on one hand, I've wondered like, oh, maybe in some ways, like, it could there be benefits to that where maybe you are training your body to be a little more fat adapted or deal with nutritional deficits later in a race, or like, no, are you like, yeah, listen. Everyone should eat every time before you go out. And again, it's not going to be the right answer for everybody, but do you have
Yeah.
like big thoughts on that?
I personally think everyone should be eating before they head out the door, remembering that carbohydrate and glucose is still your muscle's primary preferred fuel when you're out there exercising, and it's also your brain's preferred fuel. And I've just seen a lot of athletes in general who are not consuming enough to support their training, not just during the training itself, during a training run, but day-to-day nutritional intake, not consuming enough calories, carbohydrate, protein to allow their body to make the proper adaptations to that training and avoid the all too feared injury and illness. So if you're not consuming calories during your runs, you've already put yourself in a deficit that's harder to make up with that day-to-day fueling.
That's a good point. I hate to hear it, because who wants to eat at like 4:30 in the morning,
That
right?
is a real challenge.
Oh, man.
I don't know how you, I'll be honest, I don't know how you early people do it.
Well, and then on like fuel type two, like another thing I'll say, and again, I've been doing this for a while, so like I just hate taking sports nutrition during training. But part of me is just like, what am I doing, right? Like, is this okay eating all this sugary stuff? Like, if I wasn't running, I wouldn't be eating this crap, right? So I certainly prefer, making a nice sandwich on some whole wheat bread and bring in a banana or some sort of like nut bar or something. But then again, I like to go race hard, and I know like that's not gonna work for that. So
Yeah, you
I
really want to
guess.
try to mirror in training what you think you're going to be doing on race day. And again, that's going to be your opportunity to really tweak and fine-tune that race day plan and figure out what works best for your body. And there's so many opportunities for problem solving during training that can then allow you to be better prepared to problem solve on race day as well. Because it's like, oh, I've encountered this before. This is how I handle it. This is how I can work through this issue.
And then also, like, again, nothing is really gonna prepare you as much as having done a few races,
Yeah,
and if
it's
you've
very.
had a big stomach blow up or something, you really are like, okay, now I need to really review and try that again. But that also changes a lot. What are your thoughts on people over time, because I think one thing that has worked really well, or one gel, or I hear this a lot, like, oh, I used to be able to drink Tailwind all the time, and now I can't. tolerate that at all. Is that in our heads, or does our body just
Yeah,
start
I do think
rejecting?
that taste preferences and what works best for you may change over time. Every season's different. And so if when you're work when you're starting up in a new season and you've got a race that's coming up in 6 months, like that early, even the off season's the time when you can start playing around with new nutritional products to see what's going to work well this coming season, what maybe I need to retire from my previous training plans. There's always new products coming out on the market. And so I do think there's benefit in variety as well with how you feel, because a very real phenomenon on race day or these longer endeavors is flavor fatigue, where you've been consuming the same thing hour after hour after hour, and then all of a sudden you look down at that gel and you're like, I cannot stand the sight of another gel. There's no way I'm putting that in my mouth.
Yeah, it's interesting. We just yesterday, a bunch of us, a lot of cats and a lot of Virginia ultramarathoners. It was really cool, but we all did the Hone Quarry 40 miler. So pardon, I also had laryngitis, so pardon my voice, everybody. But it was great. But boy, that was like the first hot day, and everybody struggled majorly. And mostly with water and cramping, but also I think nutrition and kind of on a similar vein. For me, for example, I was feeling great for the first half of the race, and then about three quarters of the way through, oh, my stomach just started going, and I was having terrible side stitch pain and cramps. So I knew the answer was, well, you gotta stop the sports drink, you gotta try to take a little break. And then, like, my calories start dipping down, and then my legs start hurting, and then I get negative. So, again, going back to that, it's just like, it's still, I think, something that's an experiment that is forever ongoing. And even with a lot of experience, it's just so tricky to
Oh, for
nail it every
sure.
single
Even the
time.
most experienced athletes run into issues. And again, the more that you can be fueling and making those mistakes, quote unquote, during your training, the better prepared you are going to be to set yourself up for success on race day. And all of those issues make perfect sense because, always this time of year in Virginia, the warmer temperatures come through, no one's acclimated yet. Your sweat rate's always higher during that period of acclimatization. So you're, losing so much fluid, but you're not used to drinking as much. And your heart rate is a lot higher, so it makes it harder for your body to absorb the fuel. It's
Yeah.
part of the pains of spring.
That's it for
Yeah.
sure.
If you know you're in a spring race and it might get hot, try to get out there and acclimate the best you can, because that too is going to help you on race day.
And I think Promised Land is a good example of that, 'cause like every year it's like I've run it during snow, and I've run it when it's been, 80 degrees and terrible, and those are very different experiences from a nutrition standpoint. Well, what are your thoughts on sports drink versus water? Again, as a starting place, because yeah, that's something where, the sports drink is kind of nice. I'm gonna get my calories, and I'm just gonna drink them and maybe not eat too much food. And then on the other hand is like, well, if that's not working for you, water is sometimes kind of, feels a little more neutral. So do you have any guidance for someone newer trying that out?
Yeah, there's really no one size fits all type approach. And so again, part of this is going to be very individualized. I'm a bit biased towards sports drink in that I prefer it. But I am also a very heavy sweater and a salty sweater. So drinking my calories and getting electrolytes at the same time is just a lot easier than trying to piecemeal those different components together. Where on the other hand, Jordan is very much I prefer water and keeping my food and my fluid separately. So the first thing is like, what is your preference? If you're not drinking sports drink, you do need to consider where are you getting your electrolytes, especially if you are a heavier sweater and a salty sweater. And that's going to increase your likelihood that you need to replenish those electrolytes.
I have a that's actually like my next question is salt. I'll also say again, as like a 12-year veteran, like salt is still this enigma. We were sitting around after the race yesterday and we were joking because someone was asking about like, do you take S caps, little salt capsules and stuff? And I was like, I don't know. Like, yeah, I take them, but I don't know if I need them because it's not something I take. And then it's like, oh, that's working, and I feel this or that. And I think, it's hard. Again, there's not a formula for everybody, but not even just talking about, you hear a lot about salt and cramping, but you hear some about salt and helping you absorb water or not, and helping with a queasy stomach. So maybe like, do you have thoughts about, let's say, salt and like your stomach, salt and like absorbing water or having a queasy stomach? Is there any guidance there? Does that
Oh,
matter
now you're
along
getting
that road?
technical and tough. Salt is an interesting topic, and I will say in the sports nutrition world, it's become a little hotly debated in terms of whether you truly need to consume salt and replenish or not. A few things that I know for sure. Electrolytes stimulate thirst and they aid in overall hydration. They work very synergistically with carbohydrate to help you to consume more fluid to meet your hydration needs. We all know that you lose electrolytes in your sweat, and replenishment is going to help you to avoid cramps or even worse, potentially hyponatremia, where it's basically you deplete or run into low blood sodium levels. And I feel like it's the risk of overhydration are pretty high, so it's better to, I think, err on the side of getting a little bit more. Like, it's very hard to oversalt yourself, for lack of a better word, during a race. It's tough to give blanket recommendations though, because everyone's different in terms of their sweat rate and the electrolyte concentration of their sweat. And a lot of that is dependent on your genetics and your level of acclimatization to certain conditions. And it does sort of change over the season. So I'm not saying this is the right thing for everyone to do. I've never even done it, but anyone can test their sweat rate. And now there's technologies to better understand what's the electrolyte concentration of your sweat to help fine-tune that fueling pattern replenishment perspective.
All right, let's say for those of us who are not going to do that, let's say I'm just going with water. I'm scared of sports drink. I'm going to do Promised Land. It's going to be, a little warm, but not too bad. Should I take a some sort of salt supplement, S caps, noon taps, or do I count on the little bit of salt that's stated in my gel package as well? Again, I should practice this, of course, but do you recommend people at least start with trying out a little salt?
I do recommend some salt. Definitely look what's in your fuel, and see where that takes you. But I don't like the salt capsules because they're easy to drop, and then it's one more thing going into your stomach that has to break down and absorb. It actually takes a while to break down. So if you're able to get salt from like the aid stations, like a salty potato can go a long way, some potato chips, some pickle juice. I've been known to carry just a flask of pickle juice and sip on that for my salt. They do have certain supplements where I'm a big fan of bay salts, where it's a little, what do you call it? Small tube that you carry and you actually like put it on your thumb and lick it.
I remember you showed me that
It
once.
goes straight to your bloodstream to
Yeah.
and straight to where you need it versus and bypasses the gut. You don't have to worry about that breakdown. I also think like by consuming some salt, like savory, like again, salted potatoes, soup, broth, chips, pretzels, that will help to break up the monotony of all the sugar,
Yeah.
the carbohydrate, and help avoid flavor fatigue as well.
Yeah. Yep. Again, and I knew that was like a tough subject because likewise there's you hear so much differing opinion on that. Although yesterday was a great example of in general people were not used to sweating. Everyone who finished, I mean, you were seeing like these white sweat streaks all over their shirt and their face, and for sure cramping and performance were definitely affected. Although I always feel like cramping is usually you're just going too hard, right? Whether it's too hot or something, it is your body's ultimate way of telling you like, yeah, you need to back off just a little bit. So
Oh, for sure. I mean, there's different reasons why we cramp, and there's definitely fatigue-related cramping that happens. And no amount of salt is going to help prevent that.
Right. Yeah, you can't like go as hard as you want, and then you're cramping like crazy and be like, oh, I messed up my salt input. I hear that a lot, and I'm like, oh, I think you are just undertrained for what you're trying to do on race day. All right, I had a question. What about women? I'm married to an ultra runner as well, and I think like this is again a general thing, but some what you might say general or common differences if you're talking to a group, like would you kind of say like, hey, women, there are a few different needs that are a bit different than men, or is it still kind of experiment of one?
Experiment of one. There's
Okay.
really no major differences between men and women when it comes to these fueling considerations, at least not for the basics that we are really trying to talk about today.
Right, like on race day, yeah, getting your carbs and your salt in and water and yeah. Okay. All right, well, good. Okay, how about do you have any general recommendations for let's say people who do start to find like I'm having a little queasy stomach. I did this run, I've tried a few different products and I wasn't sure if I was getting diarrhea cramps or I felt a little nauseous. Are there general directions you would kind of steer those people with their next training run, like, hey, try this, and maybe this might help you a little bit.
Well, if you're known to like if you're prone to GI upset, I will tell you a piece of advice that a very cool person named Dr. David Horton gave me when I was a very young ultra runner, and it's really stuck with me to this day. If you're wearing a hydration bladder, you can cut up a tiny piece of ginger and stick it in that water bladder at the beginning of your race, and as you're sipping on your fluids all day long, you're going to get a little bit of ginger that's going to help to ease your stomach. Now, I definitely say consider how big a piece that is because that will affect the flavor of your water and try it before race day.
Yeah.
But that's one thing to consider. Things like peppermint candies, or I've been known to carry gingers, can be helpful in sort of easing your stomach. Or easing some stomach unease, for lack of a better word.
Yeah, yeah.
And then other things in terms of being mindful what you eat the night before and the morning of a run. This can impact how you feel GI wise. And small bites and sips. Don't try to get all your fuel for the hour at one time. Really spread it out as much as possible. And then stay hydrated because hydration, or sorry, dehydration slows absorption in the gut and also can set you up for GI issues. So if you're consuming adequate calories, but you're not drinking enough, as you become dehydrated, your body is not as proficient at absorbing those
Okay.
calories. And that's where people start to run into GI issues.
Yeah. You mentioned morning of. guidelines that again might capture most people with success for like, when should I eat my pre-race meal?
Oh
Do I
God.
wake up, and eat a big meal at 4 a.m.? Do I eat just a little bit at 5:30? Obviously practice this, but are there things that you feel like kind of work and don't work for a lot of people?
Well, let's back up a little bit first because my personal mindset or philosophy is that your biggest meal pre-race should be lunch the day before.
Okay.
Breakfast and lunch the day before, a simple, lighter dinner, like you don't want to overdo dinner, and then a moderate breakfast. Again, it's going to depend on what you tolerate and how early you want to wake up before a race. The general recommendation is 3 to 4 hours before you run a race. I mean, I'm thinking ahead of the promised land. There's no way I'm waking up 3 to 4 hours before the start
No,
of the race
yeah,
to
yes,
consume
nope.
my breakfast. The closer you get to the race start, the less you want to consume or the lighter that meal should be. And something is simple and the easier to digest. So you're looking for easily digestible carbohydrates. Skip the high fiber, skip the high fat, a little bit of protein. So
Yeah, good. What about organizing like your nutrition on race day? People who don't run endurance running are like, what do you think about all day? Like, aren't you bored? And meanwhile, you're in there like it's like this constant frantic thing of like, okay, my water, my electrolytes, and my food, and it's pretty busy, but I think it takes some organization to make sure you're executing your plan. So do you have people like look at your watch and every 30 minutes do this, or storing all your stuff in your vest, or any big tips there, because I think that is
I'm glad you're
important.
asking because I am running Promised Land and this is my big first event in quite a while. And I
Okay.
have not thought about this yet. So thank you for the accountability to get my race day plan a little bit more organized.
Yeah.
I mean, it's again, it starts early. Like as you're training, taking some notes in terms of what works, what doesn't, and about how much you want to consume on race day. That way, a week or two before the race, you can lay out, okay, this is my general plan of what I want to consume when. Then you need to start considering visualizing the race, breaking down the different components, and thinking through all the logistical considerations. So, if you're going to carry all your fuel, how?
Yeah.
How are you going to carry it? And if you're planning to pick up fuel, where and how? Or if you plan on utilizing the aid stations, having a solid idea in advance, what's available at the aid station so you can plan accordingly. You do want to, like, again, train in whatever gear you're going to use to carry your fuel so that you're used to navigating that. And again, you can problem solve.
Yeah.
So, like for me, I've learned that there's a certain pocket in my hydration vest that is just like a black hole. So if I put fuel in there, it's not coming back out.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just too hard when I'm running to like navigate that pocket. I'm trying to think what else.
Yeah. Well,
And
you also
then
bring up.
too, like, sorry, with the logistics of the race or the terrain, like what areas are easier to eat than other? There's going to be certain area sections that's going to be a lot easier to consume your fuel than others. So I know Promised Land, you get to the top of the mountain and you have this nice technical rocky descent. And that's probably not a great place to be fiddling with your fuel and trying to consume a ton of calories.
Yeah, and then well, the other side of that too, and I've tried this, and I don't know, but sometimes too, if you're always eating when you're going uphill, your heart rate is higher, and it just feels much more difficult. Like I'm trying to breathe heavy and eat at the same time, and then running downhill, generally heart rate is lower. But you're right, you gotta like you can't have something that's very technical like packaging to open. But I've wondered sometimes like maybe I should try to eat some more food on these downhills just 'cause at least my heart rate is a little lower and it's like a little easier. And
Yeah.
again, I think in training, people should work on that.
My favorite acronym when it comes to this topic is KISS, and that's Keep It Simple, Stupid.
Yeah.
So get your training, like get your general fueling plan out there, and then like think about how can I simplify? Less moving parts is better. The less you have to fiddle with your fuel, the better. Because especially late in the race, you don't necessarily have the brain power to be making great decisions.
Yep.
And you don't necessarily have that tactile ability either when all the blood in your body is going to your stomach and your muscles. So it's
Yeah.
a lot harder to like do these fine-tune like type like things that seem simple, like opening a package becomes a lot harder on race day.
Yep. One thing I really like to do too is even in races I've done a lot of times I will still print out an elevation profile of the race, and I'll if it doesn't if I can't find one that already is marked up, I will make dots and use rulers and draw however I need to where the aid stations are, because I think not only for your mental preparedness of like, all right, yeah, after this big hill there's an aid station, but again, like, all right, thinking about ahead of time, like, what am I going to eat at this aid station? Am I going to pick up a drop bag at this aid station? I spend a lot of time planning out the race, and a lot of it is like planning out, okay, what do I think my time is going to be? How long do I have between these aid stations? Like, is there going to be a 2 hour gap where I really need to bring up a lot? And I know not everybody's as big a planner, but I think if you can be a little nerdy with stuff like that, it really will pay dividends. So at least at each next aid station, you kind of know, like, what did I agree upon with myself that I was going to try to eat here? And how much stuff do I need to have before I'm going to see people again?
Oh, absolutely. I think that's all very sound advice. And I also encourage, like, whatever you think you're going to need from one aid station to the next, pack a little extra. You just don't know. So,
Yeah.
pack at least one extra gel or one extra source of fuel. It's better to have a little extra on hand just in case, you never know what's going to happen. But my other general philosophy is like, yeah, make that plan. Think you want to be proactive in planning out like how you're going to approach your fueling strategically on race day. But you also want to have an A and a B and a C plan, and you have to be willing to adjust and be flexible in making adjustments on the fly,
Yeah.
because very rarely does that A plan pan out as expected. Every race has different challenges, some that you've maybe experienced before, some unexpected challenges, and the best athletes are going to be listening to their body and having a general idea of how to adjust on the fly.
Yeah. Maybe a handful of times I have executed exactly what I like planned or wrote down, maybe a handful of times, but almost always at the end, it's just like, what am I gonna do? So obviously, again, nutrition becomes a lot more important, but also a lot more difficult and critical, whatever you will, as you increase the effort, again, racing hard versus like party pace. As well as the distance, you know, a 50K race is like worlds different than a 100 miler. Generally, we talked a little bit about harder efforts. Probably you're going to have a harder time digesting more complex, you know, high fiber wheat bread sandwiches. What about longer too? And maybe my question is for people who do get into longer distances. I often wonder is part of my like stomach stuff with time the fact that I'm really like just eating these super high carb fuels, whatever they may be, and I'm avoiding or I'm not avoiding, but like there's not as much of a focus on fat or protein. So is that like does that matter, fat and protein content? Is it different for everybody? Are there general things you should start to do if you are someone who's experimenting and like, hey, I want to do an event that's going to run over 12 hours, and you know, hey, you should really start to try to add in these types of things to your
Yeah.
nutrition plan.
I really think the longer you're going, the longer your race, the more it's important to vary your fuel sources. So yeah, a gel, a gummy, solid foods, sports drink, like they can all have their place in your fueling plan. A little bit of protein can be helpful for the longer distances, and keyword little bit, because too much is gonna like be a little too satiating and make it harder to consume more. Fat just generally tends to be hard to digest when you're out there doing these efforts. So I would stay away from anything higher fat, greasy, especially on race day. But I think the longer you're out there, the more you need to have sort of that fueling flexibility and sourcing from different types of foods and products, because that's going to really help you too to problem solve when, again, if you're primarily a sports drink person, but after 50 miles, you're like, I cannot stand the sight of sports drink anymore, or this is just not working for me. So, what adjustment can I make at this point in the race to keep fueling to the finish line and keep my GI happy?
All right. Well, I'm kind of getting to the end of my list here, and this has been great. You know, again, I know a lot of people have heard a lot of this before, but it's great to talk about and also have some examples, you know, of how this is affecting us. Because again, your nutrition goes, you start to bonk, or you're having nausea, diarrhea, vomiting, like. Your race goals are done. Like you may as well have broken your ankle
Have all
have hurt you for
chosen
the
a
longer.
very humbling sport. I'll
Oh,
tell you that.
it
It
really is.
comes with the territory. Even the most veteran racers that have done everything right from a fueling perspective, sometimes things just go wrong.
Yeah, I'm signed up for the Hellbender 100
Okay.
in May, and like my only anxiety is nutrition. Like I'm totally cool with the fact that it's going to be tired, my legs are going to be painful, there's going to be a time I might get cold or whatever, but the thought of having like a nauseous stomach for, you know, 6 hours or vomiting or something. And again, these things hopefully less likely in a 50K, but definitely happen a lot in a 50K. But still, it's the worst. So yeah, I think as much practice as people can do. What about so during a training block? Okay, again, I've signed up for Promised Land. It's happening in a couple of months. I mean, we're 1 month away now. But some big picture things for your nutrition on a day-to-day basis. So forget about what we're taking when we're running. Are there mistakes that people often make with just our day-to-day eating and nutrition, or things that are like pretty helpful, you know, taking more of this or this to help us get through the journey of a training block?
I think the biggest mistake I've seen people make is simply not eating enough to support their training. We put a lot of emphasis on getting in the miles, being committed to the training plan, showing up on a daily basis. But in my experience as a sports dietitian, a lot of people just don't realize how many calories it requires to support your body through these training endeavors. And whether it's because we are just not planning for what we're going to eat for the day, or don't have an appetite because, training in the heat can thwart your appetite, or just are too busy, like a lot of those things get in the way of us eating enough to truly support the training and thrive through that training. So I think the biggest baseline thing I would say is making sure you're consuming enough calories and carbohydrate to go along with that training.
Yeah, it's good. You know how I said I hate eating in the morning, and a training block last year, I was like, I'm gonna eat every day before the run, and I did it, and I made it happen. It was like I had like half a bagel with some nut butter, and I will say, like I think I felt the difference just overall because I was like, that was however many calories that I would not have consumed at any other time in the day. Like I eat a lot of food at work and stuff, but like that, I was like, okay, that's extra calories. That's probably a good thing if I'm going to be doing all this training.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, most of us athletes love to eat, but and maybe this is just me, but what I have found is that to truly consume enough to support my training, I really have to like push myself to eat a little bit more.
Yeah.
Like just relying on my general appetite isn't necessarily enough, and I have to be very intentional and organized.
Yeah.
Organization's my biggest struggle. It's like I can't just run out the door without a lunch.
Yeah, and for a lot of us, like coming back from a long run, the last thing I want to do is like consume a huge meal sometimes. Sometimes I'm just like I don't feel like eating a lot, and then
Yeah.
next thing you know, it's 6 hours later, and you can
Yeah.
kind of get in a little deficit.
That's
So,
a really, that's a very real phenomenon. And even if you just get in a little bit post-workout, it doesn't have to be much, and stick with something that's easily palatable, like some orange juice or maybe like a smoothie, a light smoothie. Yogurt, that's what I had post-run today. A little bit can go a long ways until your appetite sort of bounces back, and then you could start sort of making up that difference.
yeah, well, great. Well, Kristen Chang, thank you so much for just coming and chatting, and I think this will be a great like primer for some people as they're getting ready for this race coming up in a month or whenever they're listening to it to consider. So again, really appreciate your time, and again, I know you do great work working with the student athletes and teaching people, so definitely trust a lot of what comes out of your mouth. So have a wonderful time. We will see you at Promised Land then, yeah?
Yes, I'm very much looking forward to it. It's a fun day. It'll be a
Yeah,
fun day.
it is a great day, and it's definitely fun. And these are the
It'll
stories we hear
likely be
about.
very humbling as well, but it'll be a fun day.
Yeah, we will be talking about our stomachs, right?
With
Like one way or another, that'll be part of it. So,
great people.
all right. Well, again, thanks again. Good night, and we'll see you in a month.
All right, thank you.
Take care. Bye.
Some friends of mine just the other night.